We want to greet you all again this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Jason, for that devotion and meditation. The congregation was here last night. It was a refresher for us, huh? Loyalty to God. I don't know if you thought about the songs that you were singing tonight. The second one, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holiness, likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. And then the last was a prayer, and I thank you for that prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love as thou hast loved and do what thou wouldst do. You know, tonight, we're all criminals. We were. Recently, a judge decided against a man because he understood that sins could be forgiven, but not a crime. And he put the man in jail for 20 years. Now tonight, everybody in this room either was a criminal or is a criminal, from the youngest to the oldest. It was said of Brother Steve Eversole, the children are just sawed-off criminals. They're short and they're little, but they have a criminal's heart, and they are bound to go wrong if we don't do something about it. To love God and to keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. And tonight the sin question is always comes before us. Somehow you and I need to make a choice what we're going to do with the sin question. And sin is not just something that everybody is born with. It's not a nature that's in everybody. It's things that the Christian will battle with the rest of his life. It's not a once and done conflict. We have an enemy of our soul who would just love to have us doomed to hell. He would. He don't care how he gets you there. He can just place in you a rebel heart that you continue to rebel against God and against your parents and against authorities. But God died to save you tonight. Last night we talked about loyalty to God. And tonight there are a lot of people in America and maybe elsewhere too that would claim loyalty to God. They would fight to maintain creationism in school literature, because that's what God said in the Bible. They would march against abortion because God said it's wrong. And about everything that's in the Bible that God has said, as long as it doesn't cut across the grain, they will stand up and defend it. The subject tonight is loyalty to the church. Now, by saying that, I'm not meaning that you absolutely must be loyal to this congregation here. That is another subject. What I'm looking at tonight is the loyalty that I have in my heart for the bride of Christ. Not so much the bride, but the Christ, the groom. You see, if we don't have a loyalty in our hearts to him, there'll be no loyalty to the church. And tonight I want to tell you that when Christ comes, he's only coming for the church to take them out. And if you aren't a part of the church, you will not go out. I'd like to spend some time in Ephesians tonight, but I would like to go to Isaiah just to read some scriptures there. I wasn't sure which way to read them. If I should read the parable first, or should I start in the first chapter first? But I'm going to start in the first chapter of Isaiah and just read a few verses there. And it's a terrible story. I'll start with verse 1 of Isaiah 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are going away backward. Why should they be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land and strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord had host and left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been a Sodom and Gomorrah, like in Gomorrah. And then he goes on and he calls the rulers, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. Then he goes down and continues on, and he talks about the sacrifices and everything that these people have done, and the new moons and the Sabbaths. And God could not handle it. He said, away with it one place. It was a stench in his nostrils, the hypocrisy and the filth and the corruption that abode in the children of Israel. Now turn to chapter 5. This is a little parable. I always like this story, but it's a sad story. But tonight, what God has done for Israel, Jesus has done for us. And it starts out such a wonderful, now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my well-beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest of vine and made a tower in therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore then, I looked at it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, behold oppression, and righteousness, behold a cry. You know the cry of God is, what more could I have done than I did? What more could I have done than I did? And when Jesus was on the earth, he stood on the mount and looked over Jerusalem and cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto you, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and you would not." You can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to read 2 and 3 of this chapter and then jump over and read 11, 12, and 13. Wherein times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among them also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now stop there. You know, there's only two classes of people, or we could say a couple classes, but there's only two. You're either a Jew or a Gentile tonight. And you can say you're either a saint or a sinner. But tonight, if you're a Gentile, which probably most of you are, if you're not a Gentile, you're probably a Samaritan. But we are the people whose forefathers destroyed these people, because we were without God. We were the people that were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I know maybe you can't trace your ancestry back. But I know my mind come out of the Palatinate of Germany. And I'm sure some of them, not all of them, came out. And some of them may have been even involved in Hitler's war. You say they were devout Lutherans. They weren't Mennonites. I don't know if Martins were Mennonites back to Men of Simons or not, or Eby's, or whatever your last name, Zimmerman, whatever it is. But probably most of us wasn't. But tonight, Christ has made provisions for us. You know, the pictures in 2 and 3 and 11 and 12 are most of the ugliest pictures that you can have. It's people that are degraded, people that have no relationship with God. They were idol worshipers. They were heathens. They were adulterers, fornicators, ungodly people. I don't know if any of my forefathers may have been Ninevites or not, who was vicious and destroyed people. So tonight, you were out of the covenant. You were. But one of the most beautiful things in this chapter is the little word but. In verse 4 and 13. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. But 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were afar off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall partition between us. Those scriptures I read in Isaiah. My dear people, that was never said of the church. That was said of Israel. And Israel alone. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Through ages and ages since the Lord set up the church, there has been a faithful remnant of people. And when God comes, will he find faith on earth? Yes, he will find faith on earth. There will be a church to go up. There will be. But God is going to require some loyalty. You know, God didn't save Israel out of Egypt because they were such a good people. He brought them out because he made a promise to Abraham. And within the promise of Abraham, God included you and I in that promise. I had a book at home. It was returned to me from somewhere. It had my name in it, but it's been years since I've seen it. And the title was Jews for Jesus. Interesting, I thought. I'll read it. But as I read the first story, it was just short stories as always, and the second story and the third story, I found out that these Jews for Jesus had not understood that the middle wall or partition was broken down. They were so glad that the scriptures was written for the Jews, by Jews, and the people in the New Testament are Jews, and they liked to retain their Jewishness, and they did. And they were fervent about it. But God said, in this church, there is no Jew. There is no Gentile. We are all one. He has broken down the middle wall partition. He has laid the curtain that kept the holiest of holies away from people, split it in the middle, and made provisions for all men to come in, Jew and Gentile. But there's only one way, and that is through Christ. It's the only way that we can get into that glorious body of Christ. There's no other way. And many people are rejecting him tonight. It don't matter what you are. If you have, you can keep all the laws and regulations and rules and whatever you want to do. You can keep your culture if you want to do it. But if you reject Jesus, you rejected salvation. Tonight, Jesus is the only way that you will be saved. God has a lot. I say Christ. Christ has a lot of interest in us. You know, the wonder of it is that for by grace are we saved. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. How loyal are we to Christ? For we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. He wants to put us on display. He wants to show us off in eternity. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. And he came over in verse 18 and came and preached. Through him we both have access. Jew and Gentile, I said that. And he preached peace to us that were afar off and to them that were nigh. And now we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints in the household of God. But are we his masterpiece yet? Are we still his workmanship? And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple of the Lord, whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, tonight, Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, searching for more and deeper communion. More of thy love, more fully to know. But how loyal are we to the church? What comes first in our lives? What comes first? You know, what is it that makes our hearts skip a beat? Can we still bail hay instead of coming to prayer meeting? Can we go look that extra job? Skip prayer meeting. We got to prepare for company, so we'll stay home from church so we can have company Sunday morning. And I'd even like to mention the sacred cow, because that was mentioned at our ministers' meeting, and it has been. It has been a sacred cow to me in the past, but not anymore. And that is honey. You know, I hear people talk that when they get in the tree stand and they see this buck come, and they have their bow, and they see it coming. And he said that the adrenaline just starts to flow. It just starts to build up. And it builds up so fast and so much that sometimes they get their knees shake and they can't even pull the bowstring go. Do they get psyched up that night with revival meetings? With church services? I mean, let's be real. What does God want? What's he asking of you and me? Are we ready? Are we inclined to go to the extreme sports? The skydiving. I just found that out. I don't even believe our people would be interested in that. But skydiving, bungee jumping. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be jumping off a bungee jump whenever the Lord comes? Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be halfway between an airplane and the ground when the Lord comes? When you hear the trumpet shout? You know, these things are all close to our hearts, much closer than we like to admit. Luke 14. It's 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, what's it say next? He cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. And then he says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, they behold it and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or the king, going to war against another king, sitteth not down and counteth the cost. So likewise, whosoever he had, verse 33, of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Now he is not calling you, brethren, to just leave your wives, or your sisters just to leave your husbands, or your parents, whoever you may be. But he is calling us to a decisive choice. You consider your life. Count the cost. What it is. How much is it going to take for you and I to get through? And what he says, it's going to take everything you have. You know, if they come and take your husband away because, and we have the privilege today because we can go and we can sing on the streets and we can shout on the streets and we can preach on the streets and all kinds of things on the streets openly, freely, and very seldom molested or disturbed. But there was a time when you would have opened your mouth about Jesus. Or you'd have been to the stake and burned with fire. You see, and that's what counting the cost is. Am I ready to go all the way with Jesus? Even to die. Even to die. He says that if you aren't ready for that, count the cost. Count the cost. You know, we need to count the cost. And we need to understand a little bit, but it's going to get us through. And if you're here sitting tonight feeling like you need to recount the cost, that you think it may be too hard, rethink again. You know, God has not called us. Christ has not called us to walk this valley alone. You know, the most precious thing that makes chills go down my legs is the fact that Jesus Christ is ready to give us the grace to take us through. He is. And He is more than abundantly able to save. But it's the commitment that counts. It's the commitment. It's nothing less than that. You can't put your hand to the plow and look back. That's unbelief. Jesus Christ wants a loyal bride. He doesn't want one that is flirting with the world and flirting with the pleasures of this world. He will not play second fiddle to another God. He won't. Brothers and sisters, hear me. He will not do that. He can't. He is a holy God, and for us to try to split the thing down the middle somehow, it won't work. Because on one side, He has the enemy of all humanity, and the enemy of God on the other side is Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And you can only end up on one side of that line. You can only end up on one side. And so the commitment to us is, the Lord, I need You, Jesus, in my heart. I need You every day. And when we get a glimpse of Christ and the glory, oh, the marvelous things He talks about in Ephesians, of the things in the heavenlies. We read the last verse in chapter 2, that He wants us to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. He wants to indwell us. He wants to make us fit. And you know what a habitat is. You know when the deer is going to go eat the oaks, and you go there and hunt. You're smart enough about that. But when God comes and dwells our hearts, He wants the habitation that's fit to dwell in. And He won't dwell with another God in my heart, no matter what it is. It'll be a constant struggle for us. And we'll never come to victory as long as we have that God in our hearts. I don't care what it is. It can be, you know. One time it was guns and knives in my life. They don't mean a thing to me. They'll be on the auction sometime between now and I get the rest in Winchester. You know, I didn't want to buy another one. I had enough already. Sisters, and you can tell your own story. But unless we take up the living Word, which Jesus Christ is, and gets it into our system, and make a place for Christ to dwell that He is happy with, you just won't make it. That's the long and the short of it. He has made ample provisions. He has made all the provisions that you heathen, you aliens, you strangers need He has made the provisions. He has slain on the cross to take away our sins, every last one of them. And we won't be absolutely pure until we cross into the city. Only then will we be perfect. Only then will we be undefiled. Only then will we be totally white and ready for heaven. But there's a loyalty to Christ in the church that we need. You see, the church is Christ's bride. It's the thing that he, it's the I don't know how to say it, the image. It's, let's say it's the woman. It's the woman he died for. It's the woman he wanted all his life. It's the woman God had promised him. God said, go now. He said, I will, but I want a bride. And I'll give it to him. Tonight, where are you at? I trust that most of you accounted the cost. But maybe there's something hiding in the closet yet that you can't quite give up. We need to be serious about God. And loyal. You know, God never wanted to turn his back on Israel. He never wanted to do that. But finally, he had to. And there's people today that he would love to save. But finally, they aren't going to make it. They can say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Lord, we have cast out devils in thy name and done mighty wonderful works. He said, I must say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You know, Jesus is the only way to get there. I don't know how. The Muslims need Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses need Jesus. The Mormons need Jesus. And if you're Amish and don't believe in Jesus, you need Jesus. And if you're Mennonite and don't believe in Jesus, you need Jesus. Don't matter what you are. Your heritage don't mean a difference. Don't matter where you came from. Don't matter who you are. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. All we have to do is give up. Say, Lord, I need you in my heart. I don't want to go to hell. And then we'll do the things that are pleasing to God. Let's sing an imitation hymn. What will it be? 734. Hymns of the church. 734. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The pilgrim was struggling up that mountain with that load on his back he couldn't bear. And finally, he comes to the place where he gave it to Jesus, and it fell off. And tonight Jesus is pleading for each of us. He's still pleading for me, and he is crying out, and he is interceding in my behalf. He's interceding in your behalf. He wants you to be faithful if you're a Christian. He wants you to be that way. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom. It's the most thing that Jesus Christ wants is for us to be a part of that. Let's sing. First verse. say one more verse? I just want to say that, you know, it's we that have to count the cost. Jesus cannot decide for you. I cannot decide for you. It's a personal choice when you count the cost. Sing a second verse.
Should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should I linger, heed not his mercy? Mercy.
Thank you for your attention and your interest and your presence here tonight. God bless you as you leave this place. And as long as the saints are here, the door is open. But we could go out tonight. We could go out tonight. The time when the Lord comes, nobody knows but the Father. And when the Father says, that's it. In a twinkling, in a moment of an eye, the shout and the sound of the trumpet, the church will go on. Let us stand for closing prayer.
Holy Father, we thank you tonight that thou art a holy and a faithful God. But you have not made promises that you cannot keep tonight. We thank you for that, O Father. The scriptures tell us that thou art a God that cannot lie. And that by two immutable things, and that he said it and he swore by it. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we just pray that you be with the hearts that are struggling tonight. Be near to them. Give them courage to open up their heart to you. We pray that you bless each one here, that they may be faithful to you. They may count the loyalty of their own hearts and lives and know what it means to follow Christ till the end. So bless us with a parting blessing. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you till he comes. Amen.